welcome everybody, let's worship our God together. Here we go.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthems drown, all music but its roll. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity.
Let's sing the next verse.
Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, who rose victorious of the strife for those he came. That's you and me. Yes, his glories now we see. Who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring and live the dead.
The Spirit through him came from yonder glorious throne. To thee be endless praise, for thou for us hast died. Be thou, O Lord, through endless day adored. He's magnified.
Come on, sing.
Crown him. Crown him the
with us.
Sing that again.
He's a God. What a gift that our God says you are not only a friend, but he calls us his very own sons and daughters. What a gift today. Help us to receive that even as we worship today. Let's sing like this together. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body, his body bowed and drenched in tears. They laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still. Oh, praise his name. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, again. Oh,
I'm a child of
Yes, he died for me. Yeah. Oh, the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father.
Hey, Christian Assembly family, any visitors or guests, great to be with you. You know, we've transitioned back indoors, and the very first weekend, we had so many people ask, what can I do to help? What can I do to help as we step into this new season? And I actually had so many people ask that I spent some time praying about it, and the Lord led me to 2 Chronicles chapter 24, where Joash, who's the king at the time, decides to restore the temple. And there are a number of things that he does and he says there to restore the temple. And as a management team, as we talked about this, that question came up so often to our pastors, what can we do to help? That we wanted to give you over the next 6 weeks, six helpful action steps that you can do and we're calling you to do to restore the house of the Lord. Now, first off, let me just say that you've been doing a great job. We're not starting from scratch, but as we do transition indoors, there's a number of things that we want to call you to. You know, it'd be easy for you to think, well, I'm certain somebody else will do those things, but that's not the point. The point is we're calling all of us to do it because our mission requires all of us to be engaged on it. Maybe others, you might think, well, Christian Assembly is a great church, and I'm certain they'll be fine. And I want to tell you, church, we're not shooting for fine. We're shooting for faithful in the mission that God's given us. So what's the first helpful action that we can all do? We want to call you to a summer of prayer. In fact, we know that Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, the workers work in vain. And so we want to be a prayerful people. We want to be praying for the church, praying for our mission, praying for our kingdom leaders, praying for all of our departments as well. In fact, to help you in that, we have created a CA Summer Prayer Guide that will help guide all of us to rally and focus intentionally, specifically about opportunities that we're going to be praying for. As we pray, I also want to encourage you to stay updated on social media as well as through our email and the weekend services, because that's where you'll hear the answers to prayers that are happening because of our concerted effort to make this a summer of prayer. So how can you help? Action step number one is commit yourself and renew yourself to be a person of prayer as we're a church of prayer this summer.
Well, thank you, Tom, for reminding us on the value of prayer. So let's move forward in our service by doing that. Let's pray together. So, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we've had to worship you, Lord. We pray that you would bless everyone who is gathered in their homes or wherever they might be worshiping you right now on this online service. Father, we want to be a people and a house of prayer, Lord. So let that be one of our true values, Lord, that we would seek you first in prayer. And even as we focus that value over this summer, Lord, help us to be a people who come back to you and pray, not only for our church, but for our city, our community, and our world, Lord. So we thank you now for this opportunity to worship you, and we ask that you would bless us wherever we might be. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You can find that CA Summer Prayer Guide, which will be available online and on our app. And I just want to say welcome to everyone. I'm so glad that you're with us today. And a very special welcome to anybody that's visiting or any guests that are joining us for the first time. Thank you for being with us. It's been so great to have our indoor services resume. And now I want to let you know that we have 3 service times available for you to come and be a part of that in our South Sanctuary. We have a service time at Saturday at 6 p.m., Sundays at 9 a.m. and 11:15. And you no longer need to RSVP online to attend one of those services. And you can always go online for the latest information on Kids Church as well. Our women's ministry is inviting all women to a summer in the Psalms. They want to commit to being in God's Word together this summer. Summer in the Psalms runs from June 15th through August 15th. You can register online and you'll receive a Psalms reading plan as you do that. We encourage you to keep giving online through our Christian Assembly LA app or on our website by clicking on the Give tab. And I just want to say thank you so much for your ongoing generosity. And now we're going to continue in our time of worship as we hear our sermon for today from Matt Price.
Well, hi, my name is Matt, and I'm so glad to have this time with you. We're in a study through the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter is just a little slice of the Bible, but it is full of truth and hope for us. It's a letter written to people who had put their faith in Jesus, but they needed encouragement to keep trusting God's word, no matter what difficulties they face. Anybody need some encouragement to keep trusting God's word? 1 Peter is a shout of encouragement inspired by the Spirit of God. Well, I'll never forget one time when I was a kid, I was playing baseball during a gym class, and I've never been a great athlete, mostly because sports just never really held my attention for very long. And so this one day in gym class, I'm playing baseball and I'm out in left field. I'm out in left field both physically and figuratively. I'm not paying attention to the game or anything. And I'm kind of bored and I yawn and I stretched my left hand into the air at just the time that a fly ball came soaring right at me and suddenly landed in my glove. I'm not kidding you that I was not expecting it. I wasn't trying to catch the ball, didn't even know it was coming my way. And suddenly I found the ball in my glove. And I couldn't help but stand there shocked for a second until I heard everyone shouting, "Throw the ball! Throw the ball!" And I had the ball in my hand, and everyone was waiting for me to do what needed to be done. The verses that we're going to look at today in 1 Peter tell us that if you have received the hope that Jesus offers, then you have what all the world is looking for. Peter is shouting this encouragement to us. Throw the ball. Make the hope of Jesus known to the world, or at least to somebody. People are searching. People are aching for a message of hope that makes a difference. People want to know what cause should they give their life to? What's worth their effort and their passion? People are waiting for the message of hope that their souls were meant to receive. There is one message that has given hope to more people than any other. One message that is not bound by geography or ethnicity or culture or language. One message that is for whosoever will believe. It's the only message that is backed up by the one who rose from the grave. The only message that offers forgiveness of sins and reconciliation with Almighty God. The message of Jesus has not stopped changing lives. And there's no greater message of hope for the world in all of human history. If you have received that hope, the hope of the gospel, the hope that Jesus offers, then you have the ball in your hand. And the question is, what are you going to do with it? So let's look at the verses in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. Peter writes this, "Now who will want to harm you if you're eager to do good?" So Peter's saying, if you treat people well, if you're not a jerk, you're going to get along with most people. Verse 14, but even if you suffer for doing what is right, he says, remember, you're blessed. So notice doing what is right. Peter points out there's some right and some wrong, and not everybody is going to be happy when you or I choose to honor what God's word says is right. If you're following Jesus, Peter is telling us you're going to pass through some opposition, but don't let that throw you off. He says, don't worry or be afraid of any of that intimidation. Don't let it get the best of you. Verse 15, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. But do this, I love this in verse 16, do this in a gentle and respectful way. Don't be a jerk. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, well, they'll be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Jesus Christ. Verse 17, remember, it's better to suffer for doing good if that is what God wants. If it's God's will for you and I to pass through some opposition, that's better. That's better than to suffer for doing wrong. And then Peter reminds us in verse 18, of the very basic premise of our faith. This is the gospel in this verse right here. This is what Peter is convinced is the greatest message of hope the world has ever received. He says, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. That is what Jesus has done for us, and that is the hope that he offers all of us. He has removed all obstacles for us to have new life with God. Now, verses 19 and on through the rest of the chapter have given some people trouble. Because Peter takes, at this point, a deep dive into the Old Testament to explain how the message of Jesus fits into the larger biblical record. Now, I know that some of you are familiar with this text, and some would appreciate a careful study of those verses. And I can only say that I wish I had time to unpack all of the layers of meaning in there. But for our purposes today, I want to sum up what I believe Peter is talking about in those remaining verses. So real quick, this is what verse 19 and on summed up. Peter is making the point that God has always had a message of hope for all the world. God has always shown a willingness to call people to salvation through obedience to his word. And so the story of Noah that Peter references here is an example of that. But Peter makes it clear that through Jesus, the hope of every generation has been secured once and for all. So again, if you've received the hope that Jesus offers, then you have the ball in your hand. And I want to point out three ways that Peter encourages each of us to make God's message of hope known to the world through each of our lives. Here's the first encouragement. Peter lets us know there's going to be opposition. To make God's message of hope known in your life, that's going to require that you endure through some suffering, some difficulties, some opposition. Why, though, would anyone oppose a message of hope? Well, it's because the hope of all the world that Jesus offers is not in us or anything we can make of ourselves. You see, the hope of Jesus is bigger than any philosophy or social program. It's bigger than a political party. It's bigger than ideology. It's bigger than any nation or any religion. The greatest message of hope for this world is a call to surrender and trust Jesus. That message, though filled with hope and power, is a message that's going to face opposition. Peter knows the kind of opposition that the gospel faces. He knows that it's possible to suffer for the sake of the gospel. He saw Jesus arrested and crucified. He knew people who were killed for telling others about Jesus. Peter himself was put in prison and held in chains for talking about Jesus. But Peter also knows that suffering can be much more subtle than any of that. Peter knows that to live with faith and obedience to God's word will lead to you or I being shut out of some circles. Peter's writing this letter, in fact, to people for whom faith in Jesus meant that they were cut off from their families and their communities. These people made a decision to trust Jesus knowing they couldn't go back home. I've known people who knew that accepting Jesus meant that they would be ridiculed and rejected. I know some whose devotion to Jesus makes them the butt of jokes in their workplaces. It is not only possible, but likely that if you seek to make the message of Jesus known through your life, that you are going to have to pass through some suffering. To make known the hope of Jesus that he offers will require a determination despite opposition, despite the way people treat you and talk about you, like you or hate you. And there's a word for that kind of determination. It's the word passion. In fact, that's the Greek word that Peter uses is the word pasco. It's the word that gets translated as suffering, but it's also the word that means passion. How's your passion for Jesus? See, Peter is saying, if you're passionately determined to do good to others, then nobody should have a reason to harm you. But when we are passionately determined to honor what God's word says is right, There will be some people who don't like how we live. There will be some people who don't agree with what God's Word says is good and right. There will be some people who want to oppose your devotion to Jesus and criticize and ridicule you for trusting God's Word. And that's when your passion gets tested. That's when you have to be passionately determined to live true to Jesus no matter what. If God's message of hope for the world is going to be known in our lives, we must be willing to face some opposition and to pass through some suffering with passion for God's Word. That's the first encouragement Peter gives us. Here's the second one. Your passion for Jesus and your determination to live by God's Word can make others curious about God's message of hope. Think about this for a moment. Does your life give others reason to ask about the hope you have in Jesus? Do the choices you make, the words you speak, the values you hold cause others to wonder why? Do people wonder what compels you to live the way that you live? I'll never forget several years ago when my wife Lindsay was teaching a history class at Maranatha High School. And as part of this history class, we got to take some of her students on a tour of Eastern Europe. It was an unforgettable experience as we traveled through Germany and Poland and the Czech Republic. And we had this tour guide with us she was awesome. She was a great tour guide, and she was Hungarian. And on long bus and train rides, we got to hear some of her story of how she grew up in Hungary. She had grown up during Soviet occupation of that country with communist enforced atheism. And so she had no church background. She had no knowledge of the Bible or experience with faith or understanding of the gospel, none of that. And one day we were sitting on some park benches waiting for our bus, and she asked me, "What kind of work do you do?" And so I told her, "Well, I'm a pastor working for a local church in Los Angeles." And I will never forget that she looked at me like I was joking at first. And then when she realized I wasn't joking, her expression turned to bewilderment, like she couldn't understand why. And in fact, she said to me, she said, "Why? Why are you a pastor?" And so I explained the gospel and why this message of hope for all the world compelled me to devote my life to serving as a pastor in a local church. And I'm certain that was the first time she had ever heard the gospel. Now, I know that we won't all be pastors. In fact, I believe that God wouldn't even want us all to be pastors. God calls us to many tasks in many places. And wherever God has led you, the way you live, the way you act, the way you work can make others curious to know your hope in Jesus. I know this to be true, because when I do conversations about Jesus at Lucky Baldwin's, in fact, I'm going to be there the next couple of Thursday nights. When I do those conversations about Jesus there, I will often meet people who have become curious about Jesus because of someone they know from Christian Assembly. I meet people who will show up and they'll say things like, "I know so-and-so, and we started talking about Jesus, and I realize that I need to figure out what I believe," or, "I realize that I want to know God and I want to know how to do that. And so they told me to come and talk to you," because your devotion to Jesus makes others curious about the hope he offers. I love a quote by the author Madeline L'Engle. She says, "We draw people to Christ not by loudly discrediting what they believe, by telling them how wrong they are and how right we are. No, we lead people to Christ. We draw people to Christ," she says, "by showing them a light that is so lovely that they want with all their hearts to know the source of it. How you live, the choices you make, your willingness to honor God's word no matter what, despite any opposition from the society that we live in, that is how you will make people curious to know the hope Jesus offers." And here's Peter's third encouragement. Last one I want to give you. It's this: be ready to explain the hope you have. If you have received Jesus and you trust him for the hope he offers, you have something to say to the world. You have God's message of hope for all the world. The ball is in your hand. Don't just stand there holding it. St. Francis of Assisi is famous for the words, and you've probably heard this quote before, "Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words." And what he meant was to live in a way that your actions demonstrate the love of Jesus so that others experience the gospel before you explain it to them. The irony, though, of St. Francis being so famous for that quote is that he's also famous for being a great preacher who was so compelled to preach the gospel that he would go anywhere and preach to anybody who would listen to him. In fact, there are stories and legends that say that if nobody was willing to listen to him, he'd go out into the fields and preach to the animals. And so St. Francis of Assisi, he may have said, show other people the gospel and if necessary, use words. But he's using words all the time in his life. Theodore Roosevelt famously said, "Speak softly and carry a big stick." In other words, if you demonstrate strength, you don't have to convince people with loud words. But again, ironically, Roosevelt was known for being the loudest voice in the room. Here's what I'm saying. It's true that sometimes our actions communicate what our words cannot. That's true. But don't miss an opportunity to explain your actions with words that communicate the greatest message of hope this world has ever and will ever hear. Not all of us will stand and preach in a place like this. I know accountants, dentists, plumbers, movie extras, receptionists, engineers, teachers, artists, electricians, people of all kinds of occupations who make God's message of hope known through their lives, through their actions, and through their words in ways I never could. So whether you work or don't work, in school, retired, part-time, full-time, your occupation might change, but your vocation is the same. There is a message of hope for all the world, and God's plan is for that message to be made known through you. In every generation, people still need the gospel. Jesus is still the Savior, still very much alive and full of power. And he loves broken people and lost people and confused people and people who are seeking and people who don't have the answers and people who are stuck in sin. He is already at work by the power of his Spirit to call out to those people and to bring them to himself. We who believe have the ball in our hands. We who have received Jesus, we have the hope that he offers, and we are the ones who can demonstrate with our lives and tell with our stories what the Spirit of God is already speaking to people's hearts. We are the ones to help them respond with steps of faith toward the hope that Jesus is holding out for them. We are the ones, recruited by our own confession of our need for a Savior who can help others know the Savior they need. So throw the ball. Throw the ball with passionate determination to honor God's word no matter what. Throw the ball with the way you live, and throw the ball with the way you speak to let nothing stop you from making known the greatest message of hope this world has ever received, the hope that you have in Jesus. Would you pray with me? And let's ask God to empower us and to help us make His message of hope known. Oh God, the hope of this world rests in You. You alone are God. You alone have hope that will never fail and will not fade. It is the same generation after generation. And God, I thank You for rescuing us, rescuing somebody like me. I thank You, Lord, that Your Spirit called out to me to know Your love. And that You have given to me a message of hope that I can offer to the world around us. Lord, would You empower us to do that? Make us men and women who do that. Make us families that do that. Make us individuals that do that. Make us a local church, Lord, capable of demonstrating and telling the good news about Jesus, in helping those who hear Your Spirit draw them. Help them take steps of faith, I pray. Make of us people full of Your glory, full of Your grace, full of Your hope. In Jesus' name, and we say together, amen.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank You, oh my Father, when I stand in glory, sing. And when I Christ and in glory I will see His face, and there I'll serve my King forever.
So thank you once again for being with us for our online services. If you made a decision to follow Christ at any point during our service, or you would like to know more about what it means to follow Christ, you can let us know and we'll have a pastor follow up with you. You can email us at the address below, or you can go to our website that's also listed below. Now let me close with this benediction. May the Lord go before you, may the Lord keep you, and may He be with you. God bless you, everyone, and we'll see you next week.